Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. Good to have you, all of you. Yeah, we serve an awesome Jesus, do we not? Yeah, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we praise him and thank him. We had a great healing school yesterday, and we got to see the Lord do some wonderful things, and everybody that believed got healed. That's the whole thing. Everybody that believed, all you got to do is believe. There's Pastor Jeff went over so many different ways that we can get healed, and he makes it real difficult. You just got to say, be healed in the name of Jesus, and you get healed, you know. I just stand in awe of how hard, how difficult he made this, you know. Which one of you ladies of Norway? Which one? I want to come back here and shake your hand. A girl come all the way from Norway. Now, I'm going to tell you all a little story about Norway, because just like this, last time I was over there, I was asked to teach in the school. And so I was going around the room introducing myself to the people just like this, and I came to an elderly lady, and I was just doing just exactly what I'm doing here. I'm shaking this young lady's hand. When I said, ma'am, how are you today? And she stuck her arm out, and I looked, and her hand was all withered up. And I thought, wow. So I just kind of took that precious little hand, just like I'm doing this young lady's hand, and I put my hands on it, and I said, may the Lord bless you. And when I did, the Lord instantly healed that hand in my hand. And I was, wow. We serve an awesome God, don't we, young lady? Yes. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Now, if anybody came further than Norway, I'll come shake your hand. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we serve an awesome God. You know, if we would only believe him, if we would only believe. And of course, today I'm going to talk about some things that makes you sick, things that you don't want to do, you know, because we are in the Proverbs, and we're going to start today, and we're going to use the King James Version, and we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. I don't mind telling you that there's one thing you never get used to, and I don't never want to get used to it. When you pray for someone and see the master do an instantaneous healing or a miracle, like I did that day with that little lady. I mean, I had no earthly idea or no warning that when I walked up to this little lady, that her hand was all shriveled up like this. I didn't know nothing to do. She kind of stuck it out to shake hands with me. So I just kind of put my hands over it and said, may the Lord bless you. Now, one of the ways the Lord said we could get healed was lay hands on people. Is that right? Is that so difficult? If we know that all we got to do is lay hands on them, why don't we at least go by and shake their hand and say, may the Lord bless you? Because that's all it took to heal that lady's hand. Just think, what if we start doing something in faith? I mean, really, literally. I mean, if you see somebody that's got a problem, and here's what I'm believing God for. I'm believing that in this church, we're going to start seeing God put new arms and legs on people. These wounded warriors, these men that fought for you and me, that went over and got their legs and arms blowed off, I'm going to believe that God is going to start healing those people. I mean, he's made us the promises, so it's shame on us if we don't do something. And I'm going to start believing him for big things. You know, I've not believed him for big things. In fact, another pastor, he was on TV the other day, and he has a huge church, thousands of people. And John Hagee is who it is. And he has had a bout with sickness lately, and he's been recovering. And he was sitting there on his back porch talking to the Lord. And he said, all of a sudden, the Lord began to talk to me. And he said, John, you have a nice church. You have a big church. But you have not even begun to ask for what I wanted to do here in San Antonio. Now, if you've worked hard, especially as John Hagee has, and taught as many different things as he has, and has been as many places and traveled all over the world as he has, and the Lord tell you, you haven't even begun to ask for what I wanted to do here, that would make you think, my goodness gracious. So that makes me wonder what he's wanted to do for me and you, and we've not asked. Because I know the first 30 or 40 years of my life in the Southern Baptist Church, I didn't ask for nothing. I never prayed about nothing. And guess how many of those prayers got answered? None of them. I didn't pray for nothing, so I didn't get nothing. When I finally started praying for people and believing God would do something, guess what began to happen? He began to answer my prayers. And I began to see awesome things. And so now I'm thinking, how difficult would it be if you saw somebody that had a leg bad, an arm bad, or missing? How difficult would it be to walk up to them and say, can I pray for you? In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to give this person a new arm or a new leg. Have you got that much faith? I mean, but how difficult would that be? I really think it's time that we start stepping out and believing God for big things. You know, somebody bought me a little sign, I think it was my wife, and put it in my office, and it says, "Pray big." Did you get that for me? Okay. Pray big. I think my wife's trying to tell me something. It's time for me to stop being just a normal little preacher and start serving the King of Kings. You know, not some fly-by-night cowboy. You know, I mean, we act like we're serving some fly-by-night cowboy. They can't do nothing. We don't act like we're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do we, Franz? We need to start acting like we're serving the God that made us.
You're working on it.
I'm working on it. Praise God. Well, I want us all to work on it. You know, I want us to work on it, and I want us to, as we see people out there, you know, start doing something in faith. You know, if you know that you can pray for people and God is there to back you up, don't miss an opportunity to pray for somebody. I mean, maybe you're in another Sunday school class somewhere where they don't know these things. You know, somebody comes in sick that day. Just like one day over here at the Baptist church when I was a teacher over there, a lady walked in, and she'd been there a couple of times, and one morning I'm going around shaking hands with all of them, and she's messing with this little necklace she's got with a big old black mole right here on her chest. I said, "Is that thing bothering you?" She said, "It is, and it bothers me all the time. My little necklace drags on it and everything." I said, "Well, why don't we ask Jesus to take it off? I never heard of such a thing." "Well, I mean, I have talked about going to a doctor and having it removed surgically." I said, "But you know, do you not believe that Jesus is the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords?" And I told her, I said, "I want you to turn to Matthew 18:19, and I want you to read that one verse for me." And she turned over there and read that verse, and somebody tell me what Matthew 18:19 says.
"Again, I tell you, when two or more agree on earth on anything."
You can ask for anything.
"In my name, and I will
answer." I mean, if that's written in the Bible, if that's written in the Bible, is it written in the Bible?
Yes.
He said you could ask for what?
Anything.
So anyway, I told her, I said, "Ma'am, what's that say?" She looked at that and she read it and she said, "Well, Pastor, you think that really means what it says?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. I think it really means what it says." So I said, "Why don't I ask the Father in Jesus' name, and me and you agree, that he'll take that thing off?" She said, "I never heard anybody talk like this." I said, "Well, you carry your Bible to church?" And I said, "Is it in there?" And she said, "Well, yes, it's in there." I said, "Well, let's just do it." So she said, "Okay." So I laid my hand on her shoulder, and I asked the Father in Jesus' name to take the mole off of her neck. And I said, "Now, Lord, thank you. It's done in Jesus' name." I said, "Can you say thank you, Jesus, for taking that mole off my neck?" She said, "You're already acting like it's done." I said, "Well, ma'am, that's kind of the way I read the book. I'm supposed to believe it's done, that he can do, a few things. You know, there's not much." Is that right? No, that's not right. Oh, isn't that terrible that he can do anything exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or imagine? And we don't ever step out and trust him. So anyway, she said, "Okay, Lord, thank you for taking that mole off my neck." And so we went ahead with the Bible study class and had the Bible study class. And the next Sunday morning, she come bouncing in the door. She was hysterically. She said, "Pastor," and this is the first time I've ever had a woman say, "Look at my neck." "Pastor, look at my neck." And I looked and I said, "Well, praise God. He did exactly what he said, didn't he?" She said, "I never heard of such a thing as this." What a shame. God made it so simple, just like that lady in Norway. I didn't even ask for her hand. I just grabbed hold of that little shriveled hand and said, "Lord, thank you for blessing this lady." And she got a brand new hand. And that night after school, her and the owner of the Christian Network were on TV telling the whole Scandinavian world over there what Jesus had done for this lady. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything wild or something, just do what the Word says. You know, it just said two of you agree. Is that what it said? I mean, we didn't have to scream or jump up and down or nothing like that. You know, we just prayed over the Word and asked the Lord to do something. And he did it, you know. But I've seen him do those kind of things over and over and over and over. God is so awesome. But now God made us an owner's manual, folks. And he gave us this owner's manual to tell us how to live and what we're supposed to do. And the first part of this message today is going to be about Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 and on. And we're going to talk about some of the things God says for you to do and not to do, because if you obey Him, you won't have to be sick. And how many of you would like to live the rest of your life out with no sickness? That's me. I don't want that. Now, look what he says here. I'll just start verse 19 since it's on the board here. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And that's true. And do you know that that fits more of the church world than you think? That's not supposed to be talking about us, but it says the way of the wicked. You don't see yourself as wicked. But when you sin, God sees you as wicked. I can show you scriptures where he talks about the wicked. In other words, when you get into unforgiveness towards someone, he calls you the wicked servant. And so the wicked, the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. We don't even understand, you know, what's out there. So if we would do what God says, then he gives us these instructions in verse 20. My son or my daughter, attend to my words. Attend to these words. I mean, pay attention. When God puts something down there for you, he means for you to pay attention. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear into my saying. Listen to me. I'm going to be giving you some instructions. I want you to pay close attention to what I'm going to say. That's what he's saying. Lord, I don't know what it is, but I need my throat cleared up so I can talk. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for clearing my throat and in keeping it clear in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now then, let's go to verse 21. Let these words not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Now, we want to have long life and good health, do we not? So he said, if we make sure that these words, in verse 21, he says, let these words not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for these words that I'm going to tell you, they're life unto those that find them. Well, let me tell you what. If you don't get out there and study God's word and you don't read his word on a regular basis, you're not going to find these words. These words don't just appear on your front door. I'm not saying that can't happen, but usually that's not the way it is. Usually you have to get into the word and dig in the word and start really studying the word. If you will not let these things depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for these words are life unto those that find them. Now then, I want to find the words of God. I want to hear him. I want to obey him and do what he says, because if he says it's going to bring life and health and long life to me, that intrigues me. I want long life and good health in the process, don't you? So we need to really listen, pay attention. Only to those that find these things is this going to happen. Let's go to verse 23 and 24. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Some of us would need about 4 layers of 2-inch duct tape to make that work. But if that's what it takes, if it's going to determine whether you live or die, it would be worthwhile if you had to for a little while to put a piece of duct tape over your mouth until you learn not to talk. In other words, at least be careful what you say. Most people, I was one of them, had no idea how powerful my words were. Just think, that little lady from Norway, when I walked up to that little lady, I don't know how many years her hand had been shriveled, but all I did was say with this mouth, may the Lord bless you. And that's all it took. And the Lord blessed her because I spoke a word out of my mouth that brought healing and a miracle to that little lady that had had a shriveled up hand for I have no idea how long. What if I had not spoken a good word? What if I had said nothing? He says to say something, but I need to say what I want. May the Lord bless you. As soon as I said, may the Lord bless you, he did. Now, what if I hadn't said anything? What if I had just said, oh, I'm so sorry that your hand's so shriveled? That's what we usually do. We speak things like that. But he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. This is something we really need to work on, all of us. To tell you what I'm talking about, last night after the healing school, there was a young man, big, healthy young man, standing right here in the front with me. And I'd been praying for people, and I told a little, simple, minor healing that took place with somebody. And this big, tall boy looked at me and he said, "That's unbelievable. For a 29-year-old young man, I reached up and grabbed him by the shirt and I said, I'm fixing to punch you out." Now, he didn't know if this old man meant what he said or not. I said, "Your words is why you don't ever see a miracle." I said, do you love Jesus? He said, "Yes." I said, "Do you believe he's God?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Then I want you to repent right now for those foul words you said when you said, 'That's unbelievable. Jesus can't do that.'" He said, "My gosh, I didn't know it was that important." I said, "Do you ever want to see a miracle?" He said, "Well, I'd love to." I said, "You ain't never going to see it going around saying he can't do nothing. You're going to have to believe him. Is that right? I mean, do you think God expects us to believe him? After all, he's only God. If he's only God, the bigger we think, the bigger he can do things, right? If you go through life believing, "Well, you know, I don't believe he can do that. You know, I mean, I heard you say that, but I don't believe that." You know, and I've had people tell me, that's just like there's a scripture in the Bible that I don't know how many times I've heard people say, "You've lost your mind. That does not mean what it says." Let me go to that verse one time, and I'm going to ask you this question, and some of you are going to be just like I was the first 100 times I read it, and some of you here have read it many times and have not believed it, but now some of you do. But this scripture is so profound, and it's John 20, 23. Amen. I want you to look at it in your Bible and read it. And then I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe you can forgive somebody's sin?
Yes.
Okay, you must have read the book, huh? Because if you hadn't read the book, you wouldn't believe that, right? No, I didn't either. In fact, Scott and Kim right here sitting on the front row, they had been coming to church. She got miraculously healed here 10, 15 years ago with her back, and she's not had any back trouble since. So she kind of believes that what I say thinks it's true, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I taught them this scripture that you can forgive people's sins. I said, especially if we're to use this, if somebody's comatose, and you go to a hospital or whatever, or you're going to, you know, whatever, somebody's house, and you're going to pray for them and they're sick or they're down and out or knocked out or asleep or whatever, and you can't get them to repent of their sins. Since we've learned that God says in his word, "I forgive all of your iniquities and then I heal all of your diseases," we've realized that we need to get rid of sin first before we pray. And so I taught them this and they learned this. So one day they would come home and the power was out at their house. And so they called the power company like everybody would. And the power company told them they were having trouble with a transformer, but they should have it on by about midnight, 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the morning. Should be no problem. So they said, "Okay, it's already almost bedtime, so we'll just go to bed and wake up in the morning, we'll have power." They went to bed, woke up the next morning, there was still no power. They were having a problem, an issue they couldn't resolve. So they began to pray, "Lord, what is the deal with the power?" And the Lord spoke to them. Now, they're here, so they can verify this. The Lord spoke to them and says, "Remit the sins of this block so I can turn the power back on." Is that right?
Exactly.
That's exactly what he said, right? And her first words, these perverse words that came out of her mouth was, "Lord, I can't forgive the sins of this whole block." Now, who just told her to do that? Who just told her?
The Lord.
I mean, now don't y'all laugh at her, because every one of you has been guilty of the same thing. Have we not?
Yes.
When those of us that have been fortunate enough to hear the Master's voice, sometimes he tells us to do something. You say, "God, I can't do that." And so that was her first words. "Lord, I can't remit." And then she said, "Lord, what am I doing? You just told me to remit the sins of this block so you can turn the power on. Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I remit the sins of this block in Jesus' name." And what happened to the power?
Oh, it was right there in a heartbeat.
I mean, in one heartbeat, bam, the power came back on.
That's awesome.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
And I've had people, all kinds of people, tell me, "Thurman, that doesn't mean what it says. You can't do that." Well, let me tell you, folks, you got to me too late. If it's written in God's word, I believe it. Isn't that the way we should be?
Yes.
We let the world tell us you're crazy, nothing works. You say, "Hey, I got a word right here in the King James or whatever Bible translation you're reading. It says this, I believe it," and so that settles it.
Exactly.
And it don't matter whether you believe it or not, it's settled anyway.
Yes.
If it's written there, God meant it. You don't have to believe it, but if you do, you can see him do great things. Now, isn't that amazing? We can forgive sin. People, they don't understand who they are. You in this room are sons and daughters of the Most High God. That makes you somebody special. You're sons and daughters of God. And all the blessings of God belongs to you, don't they, Scott?
Yes.
And so you're His body on this earth. He's the head, you're the body, and as long as you're attached to Him, nothing is impossible with you. And that's why this couple, I mean, I've heard them tell testimonies over and over and over since they've learned these things, and that the dominion and authority, Scott would be out there and they're mowing or something or doing some work for somebody, and all of a sudden a thunderstorm comes up and the guy says, you know, it's lightning, you know, y'all need to close up everything. He said, no, we're sons of God. You know, God's not going to hit us with a lightning bolt. We're walking in obedience to His word. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we're Your children. We ask You to keep the rain and everything back until we get this yard finished and get our equipment put in the trailer and close up, and then You can let it rain. And so they mow and they do everything and they get everything done, and it's lightning, you know, and little drops of water are falling every once in a while here and there, and somebody's saying, you better get in out of the rain. They're not concerned at all. They know who their daddy is. And they know He's in charge. And so they get all the mowing done, run the machines in and tie them down, close the back door and go get in the truck to leave, and the rain comes down. Somebody says, what a coincidence. There was no coincidence. God was hearing their prayer. If you just believe, He didn't just give us the privilege of healing people or praying the prayer of faith for people, did He? He told us we could do all kinds of things, you know, but we got an enemy that comes against us once in a while, and once in a while we have to pray one for another. And so, wow, let's go a little further down here and listen to Proverbs. Let's go back to Proverbs. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips far from you. Now, we give you several examples of these perverse lips, and it's not necessarily cussing or doing something like that. You're just saying negative things that doesn't line up with the Word of God. That's what He's talking about. So be very careful. Just like that young man. When I told him that little simple miracle, it was nothing. It was minor. When he just backed off and said, that's impossible. That's unbelievable. That's when I went down there and grabbed him and I'm going to punch him out. I told him, when an old man grabs a young man like that and threatens to punch him out, I said, usually you get their attention. They remember it. And that's why I do those kind of things. I would never have hit that young man under no condition. I think all of y'all know that. I have never hit a man in my life. Never. I've never had a fight. I don't plan to. But I'm telling you, you got to learn how to talk. And you got to learn how to believe God's word. And in fact, last night when that young man started to leave, I told him, I said, now, son, do you believe that God can do these things? He said, yes, sir. He said, I've repented. I won't never make that statement again. Praise the Lord. Nothing is difficult with God. All you got to do is believe. So anyway, let's go down to the next verse. Let your eyes look right on. Now, this is something that I want the men especially. Let your eyes look right on and let their eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of your feet and let all thy ways be established. Why do you think God is telling us, especially men, to look straight ahead? Men, I'll tell you, one day when I was still an engineer, working for a living, I was in my office and I was talking with a man about some business, and we got through with our business and then we're talking about spiritual things. I never let a man get out of my office. I don't talk to him about Jesus. That's the way I was made. And he said he was a Christian. He said they went to church. He said, but I have a 16-year-old son. I don't know what's wrong with him, but he is just eat up with women. And he said, this boy's always looking at girls, talking about girls and all this kind of stuff, and I don't know what I'm going to do with him. And all of a sudden, one of my pretty little secretaries, and you know how these girls dress. Some of them dress pretty nice, you know, and some of them wear too tight of skirts and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, I can't control what these girls wear. But one of my pretty little girls come walking by, and as she goes walking by my window, he's talking to me, and all of a sudden he catches it, and he's, wow, wow. And then she goes out of sight, so then he turns around and starts talking to me again like nothing happened. And then a few minutes, we're talking, and she comes back, and as she comes into sight, he turns his, and he watches her all the way till she's out of sight. I told him, I said, I know what's wrong with your son. He said, what do you mean? I said, you're the problem. I said, you're eat up with women. Do you not know that men, when men look at women where they're not supposed to, it causes prostate cancer? I said, if nobody ever told you that? He said, I never heard of such a thing. I said, the book of Proverbs says for a man to look straight ahead. Don't ever look at a woman. If you got to look at her, where should you look at her? Right in her eyes. Don't you dare look at her nowhere else. Ain't no problem if you look at her in her eyes. But that's the Lord knew how hard it was going to be for you to do that. So in the Proverbs, he put this right here. Don't look. He said, just pay attention. Look straight on. If a woman comes across there, turn the other way. If she comes up to you, look her right in the eye. Don't look at her nowhere else. Talk to her. Look at her straight in the eye. I have seen men that would come up here for a healing, and they come up here, and from the time I'm standing here talking to them, instead of looking at me, they're looking at my wife somewhere from the neck down. I've seen men do that. They're in a healing line, trying to get healed from prostate cancer and wonder why they can't get healed. Because they're not looking where they should be looking. If they walk up and look at Cheryl in the eyes and see her red hair, that should be it. I mean, after that, you come back to me and you talk to me, you concentrate on me, you want to get healed. And all you're doing, instead of concentrating on what I'm telling you, you're looking at my wife from the neck down. That's not exactly where you need to be looking. Why do you think God told us? Look straight ahead. You think he understood that?
Yeah,
I think he did too. Pay attention. How many of you men love to have prostate cancer? Oh, I don't see no hands. Isn't that amazing how that God attacks you with whatever you sin with? Let your eyes look right on, right straight ahead. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Don't be gawking around at every woman that walks in the room looking at her bottom or her breast or whatever. That's not what you're supposed to be doing, men. Let's go to the next verse. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. See, if you're looking, you're into evil. And if you're into evil, that means that God is going to have to judge you or discipline you, and you will not like the results. Now then, let's go to chapter 5. Let's go to chapter 5, and let's go on a little further. He says, my son or my daughter, attend unto my wisdom and bow your ear to my understanding. Pay attention, listen to me, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Let's go to the next verse, 3 and 4. For the lips of a strange woman are as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. And there's men out there looking for those girls, and there's girls out there looking for those men. Wow, let's see what the Lord has to say about this. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end, listen to this, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. I don't think I like that, do you? Let's go to the next verse then. Her feet, I really don't like this. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of hell. Am I reading this out of the Bible? Wow. Lest you should ponder the paths of life. Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. You can't know what they're going to do. There's so many things and so many ways that this promiscuous woman, how she deals. And men, especially truck drivers that are on the road a lot, some of them got spots they love to stop because there's somebody there that they know that they go to bed with. And they have no idea that this is written in God's word. Wow. Let's go to the next verse. Hear me now, therefore, O you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and come not near the door of her house. What's he trying to tell us, men? Is God trying to tell us to stay away from that prostitute? Stay away from this girl's house. I mean, wow. Remove your foot far from her and come not near the door of her house. Don't even go close to this thing. Men that go into the house of a prostitute or that will have sex with a woman they're not married to, they've got something disconnected up here. They really do. Obviously, the disconnect is the Word of God. Because if you know these things, if you know, I mean, how many of you, if you were to walk out to the edge of the door out here and you knew that the ramp was not there and I had 6-inch spikes, little bitty spikes like ice picks all over the place, And if you stepped out there, you're going to stick those things through your foot. How many of you men would step on those things and try to walk over them? Nobody. We got a brain. We ain't going to do it. But this is far worse. If you go into the house of a prostitute, it's going to carry you into the pits of hell. It's going to make you sick. Let's go to the next verse and let's see what else he says there. Lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel. Somebody said, what in the world does that mean? That's what I asked the first dozen times I read that. What is that? What does it mean to give my life to the cruel? So I begin to pray over this. Lord, I don't understand how that I give my life to the cruel. If I go out to a prostitute and I go to bed with a prostitute, how is this going to give my life to the cruel? Who is the cruel? Oh, somebody told me the right answer. The devil. So if I go out or you go out to the house of a prostitute, you're going to give your life, turn your life over to the devil. And according to John 10:10, what does the devil come to do? Steal, kill, and to destroy. Do you like those?
Nope.
So you begin to wonder why your world falls apart, why you start getting sick, why you have problems you never had before. You never had these things before you hung out with a prostitute. And ain't nobody knows that you did except you and her. And God, God's eyes, he knows everything every man does. You can't get by with nothing with him. So it ain't no use to try to hide from God because it's impossible. And I've said before when people talk about certain things, they say, well, I don't know if this will be sin or not. Can I do this? I said, well, let me ask you a question. If you knew that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, was standing right here with his arms stretched out and you could still do whatever you want to do with no problem whatsoever, you're probably okay. But if there's even a thought come to you, you think, wow, I could probably do that if I was in the dark with somebody. But if I were to do that in the bright light and Jesus was standing here, I couldn't do that. Well, then that's sin. Anything you do that's not of faith is sin. Or anything you become convicted of is sin. Don't do it, because if you do, you're going to pay the consequences. There's a consequence for sin. And it's sickness and disease and death and destruction. And it leads to hell. Is all this in the Bible?
Yes.
Lest you give your honor unto others and your years unto the cruel or unto the devil. In fact, I had a young man here yesterday as a truck driver, and he said about 6 months ago, I got a hold of your teaching. He said, I have listened to you over and over and over driving that truck. He said, I'm on the road, I'm listening. He said, one day I heard you talk about this scripture in Proverbs about turning my life over to the cruel if I went to bed with a prostitute. And he said, I'm going to tell you what, pastors, today I'm repenting. I ain't never even going to think about that again, ever, never, ever. See, he never dreamed that he's giving his life to the cruel. He had no idea what he was doing. But when he got a hold of it, and this became a revelation to him, he said, forget it. I won't never. I said, I'm straightening my life up. He said, I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to stop this nonsense. Do you think that God is happy with a young man like that? When he finds himself and repents and gets right with God, God is happy with him now, right? Yes, because when he come to God and said, God, I'm going to be a good husband from this day forward. I ain't never going to sin again like this. Never. I'm going to walk in obedience to your word. He said, these teachings Pastor Scribner put out here, it's in the Word. This has just scared my socks off. And he said, I ain't going to do this no more. Well, you know, if you read the book like it's written, it ought to scare your socks off, right? Is he God?
Yes.
Is he Daddy?
Yes.
Does daddies give children spankings?
Yes.
Yes, they do. Then he says in verse 10 there, lest strangers be filled with your wealth. In other words, all the things you work for, you're going to give it to somebody else. You ain't going to get to enjoy it. I know that's what we all work for and spend 14 hours a day working and driving a truck or whatever we do and working as a mechanic or a plumber or lawyer or whatever we do. And I know we want to work 14 hours a day so we can just give it to somebody else and we get no benefits. Is that the way to think? No, you want that money so you can enjoy the benefits yourself, not somebody else. Let strangers be filled with your wealth. Some of those strangers are lawyers. You know, when a man starts messing with another woman, if his wife finds out about it, most women kind of got a problem with you having sex with another woman. You know that? I don't know why they're made like that, but I don't know. Just like the other day, I was listening to a story about a man that him and this girl, they were just getting lovey-dovey, and they were not even in bed. They were out on a public place, and this other man kissed this woman. And her boyfriend was down the street in the car, and he saw this, And it so angered him, he cranked up that car and come running, and he almost killed both of them. And they wasn't going to bed together. This guy just kissed his girlfriend. That's all he did, kiss her. But he didn't like it. Of course, they were able to get away, and he didn't kill anybody. But the thing about it is, this is where lawsuits come in. And I mean, when a man and a woman, you know, when they have a problem and they go to court, and then as they go to court, if you got any money at all when you get into a lawsuit like this with a marriage, if you had any equity in your home or whatever, who usually winds up with it all? The lawyers. Yeah, you don't get to enjoy it. So therefore, you and your children are all in poverty because you wouldn't obey God and do what he said. Strangers will be filled with your wealth and your labor be in the house of a stranger. Yeah, a lawyer, somebody you don't even know. Verse 11 and 12. And you will mourn at the last when your flesh and your body are consumed. What does that mean? What is he talking about there? What happens to men that go into the houses of strange women and have sex with all these women? What kind of diseases come upon you? AIDS? Syphilis? All of the venereal diseases of all kinds. And are venereal diseases fun? Not hardly. And you will mourn at the last when your flesh and your body are consumed. I don't know about you, but I don't like that. You know, that'd be a good time to find a healing preacher. You know that? Now then, what if that guy comes to you and you don't know about confessing sin? You never heard about confessing sin. Why is he sick? Why is this guy sick, according to the word? Why is his body being consumed? Because of sin, right? What's he been doing he ain't supposed to be doing? He's been sleeping with some woman he ain't married to, right? And so lots of other men have been sleeping with this woman, so all these diseases are in every one of them. And now then, he's got all these diseases, and his body is being consumed. I'll tell you, when I was in Vietnam, the Surgeon General come down and told us, they said, guys, we have been to the little communities, and all the whores that we could find, we done a complete examination on them and said every one of them has more than two venereal diseases. So there's not a single one of them had just one. And said some of the venereal diseases these women had, we don't even know what they are. So we have nothing to treat them. So let me tell you guys, whatever you do while you're over here in this country, don't go to town and sleep with a whore. If it's not your wife, don't you dare touch her. Now, this is the Surgeon General telling a bunch of military men this, and you would think we were all intelligent enough to hear. But guess what? No, we ain't too smart. We're pretty dumb. I was already trained as a man of God, and I wouldn't have went downtown under no conditions and slept with a whore. I didn't care. I mean, I'm married. That's good enough for me. I want my wife to stay clean and pure back at home, and you can be assured I ain't going to run around with her while I'm over there. But when they told us that day, if I'd have been a promiscuous guy, I'm saying I ain't going down there. They got 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 different diseases, and if I go to bed with one of these girls, I'm going to come away with all these diseases. You got to be out of your mind. Ain't nothing worth that. But some of them men. And what was really bad, some of the men were like me. They had their wife in Japan when they sent us down there. And then from there, when we got to go home, we got to go back to Japan. Some of those men that had their wives in Japan went home with an incurable venereal disease. Now, what are you going to do when you come home, you got a wife and kids, and you got to tell your wife, I'm sorry, honey, I can't have sex with you no more. What are you going to do? Is that sad? Some of those women divorced their husbands. Some of those women stayed with their husbands. I thought, wow, what a woman. Of course, they got kids, you know. Somebody got to raise these kids, right? Are we stupid? Yeah, we're stupid. You know, we really are. That's kind of like me giving you an example of the spike sticking out the front door when I tell you, now, don't go out there and walk across there, because if you do, they're going to go right through your foot. And some of y'all just go, how many of you think, well, is anybody in here dumb enough that would walk with bare feet, walk across those spikes if he knew they were there and could see them? You'd think, what's wrong with this idiot? Thurman just told him the spikes are out there. Don't step on them. But that Surgeon General told us. I was in that meeting that day, and some of those guys did anyway. Wow. And if they'd been reading God's word, what did God tell them? Yeah, he said, if you do that, he said, don't do it. But if you do, he said, your flesh and your body will be consumed. Ladies and gentlemen, that don't even sound funny to me. But God is trying to give us a warning right here, isn't he? Oh, you will say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? Wow. In fact, I'll tell you one story that was really heartbreaking. When my nephew was a young man, he had a wreck on a motorcycle and crushed his whole pelvic. And they had to replace his hip. And I brought him to Dallas whenever another young man about his age, about 20 years old, fell off of a platform and got killed. And Ricky was on the list for a transplant. And when this young boy died, him and Ricky were almost exactly the same size. And so they called us and said, we have a hip for Ricky. So I jumped in the car with him and brought him to Dallas for surgery. And while they're doing the surgery, I'm sitting out there, and here in this room, there was this precious little girl, had scars all over her. And I said, honey, what happened to you? She could barely talk. It took her 30 minutes to tell me what I'm fixing to tell you in a minute. We were out drinking, driving fast, thought we were having fun. And we ran over a bridge that had wooden barricades, and there was no bridge on the other side. You know, you wonder why now when they do that, why they put a concrete deal that big, this thick, because of the idiots. You know, we don't want to call them that, but that's what we are. And back in those days, they thought people were smart enough that if they see a whole double set of wooden barricades, they won't drive across it. But if you're drunk and out of your mind with alcohol, you don't see. And so she said, we drove through that. And she said, there was four of us in the car. The other three were killed. I was the only one that was left alive. But she said, if I only had the chance to live that day over, it would be different. But you don't get to live it over. You only get one time through. That's why God's given you and me instructions. If we take the instructions, heed the instructions, obey the instructions, he said that it will bring health to all your flesh and a long life to you. Now, do you want that? Yes. So that means if I want to have a long, healthy life, I got to obey God, right? Yes. And that doesn't seem too difficult. He seems to love me a lot to give me all these instructions. Does he not? Yes, he really does. And they mourn at the last. This is an awesome scripture. When I finally got revelation on this, and they mourn at the last when their flesh and their body are consumed with venereal disease. Wow, there's some of the other translations that literally say that. And they say, how have I hated instructions and my heart despised reproof? See, that's that little girl. She had not heeded the instructions of God. She's out drinking with the boys and the girls. They were driving fast and they were run off that bridge. I've seen many young people that have done that. Some of them get their eyes punched out. Some of them get arms broken. I've seen all kinds of young men that have an eye knocked out, you know, because they went out and got drunk and they're driving and drinking and run into somebody and it punches an eye out or whatever. You pay for your sins. And that's so sad. Wow. Next verse, 13, 14. And we have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, our teachers, the Lord, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. That's sad when we don't do that. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. We'll read that in another translation in a minute. You'll see that says something different than it sounds like. But I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. Verse 15 and 16. Drink water out of your own cistern and running water out of your own well. Let the fountain be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the streets. You can read that and totally miss what he's trying to tell you. Let's go on to the next verse. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Oh, okay, now that's making a little sense. Maybe he's talking about sex. He is. That's exactly what he's talking about. Verse 19 and 20. Let her be as the loving hind and the pleasant roe or deer. Let her breast satisfy you at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Verse 21. For the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord. And he ponders all of his ways, his goings. Do you think that that scripture right there means that God can see everything you do all the time?
Yep.
That's exactly what it means, yeah. His own iniquities shall take the wicked, and they shall be holden with the cords of his sins. One last verse, and then I want to read that in the NLT. He shall die without instruction. In other words, if you don't instruct people and tell them the truth, God says you're going to die. I don't want to die early, do you? I want to live out my whole life. I don't want to die. And of course, so many young people die at 15, 20, 25 because they don't heed instructions. They do things their own way. And he shall die without instruction. And in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Now then, I want us to go back up, starting with about verse 4 in the NLT. And I want to read that same scripture to you one more time in the NLT. I'll just start at the top. It'll be okay. Let's just read the whole thing. Verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Then you will show discernment and your lips will express what you've learned. In other words, you learn to talk right. Your words that will come out of your mouth will be intelligent words. You won't be speaking just negative words. You won't be speaking those perverse and forward words that the King James said. You'll speak things you've learned. Verse 3 and 4. For the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. How many of you have ever watched a soap opera in your life? Maybe I shouldn't ask you that, but everybody somewhere along the line has looked at a soap opera. You know, those things are so awful. You just can't hardly turn the TV on during the daytime without seeing something. And they always got this man and woman embraced in that, fixing to kiss or something, you know, with that softness or whatever. Every time I've ever seen one of those, which is not very often, but once in a while I'll turn the TV on and turn to the news or something, and there'll be something like that on for a few seconds. And you see that and you think, wow, that sounds just like the Proverbs. Just exactly like the, for the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Wow. Sounds enticing, doesn't it, men? Sure it does. It sounds. Why do you think the devil does it like he does it? Because he wants it to entice you. He wants you to sin so he can really tear you up. But in the end, she is as bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. I mean, this is kind of scary, isn't it? Does that make you want to walk holy before God? Ooh, it makes me want to straighten my act up and walk holy. I mean, I don't want nothing to do with these perverse women. Now, you know, it's really easy to entice a young man if he's not well trained in the Word of God. I mean, I think about those boys, that story I told you a while ago about when we were in Vietnam. Those men that went to town to sleep with one of those girls. No, not, that's not correct. They didn't go down there to sleep with her. They went down there to have sex with her. That's all they wanted. They wanted to have sex and then it's over. I can't imagine anybody that has heard the Surgeon General just tell us that every one of these women is contaminated with at least two or more incurable diseases that we don't even know what they are. So don't go to bed with one of these women unless you catch this. There is no cure for what you'll get. And they did it anyway. But in the end, she is as bitter as poison. Does that sound like what we're talking about? As dangerous as a double-edged sword. Wow. Verse 5 and 6. Her feet go down to death. I sure don't like that if I'm a young man. If I knew that her feet went down to death, you would think that I wouldn't go in there. But some of them do. Her steps lead straight to the grave. I mean, how else could God have warned us? How could it have been any clearer? And so why do people do this? They don't know, obviously, or they don't believe God. For she cares nothing about the paths of life. She staggers down a crooked trail and doesn't realize it. She don't know where she's going. She has no idea that her way is leading to death. Next two verses. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I am about to say. Never. Stay away from her. Have you ever heard a father tell his son, don't go to town and find you a whore? Stay away from those girls. If the daddy is any good at all, he'll tell his son when he's little. He'll explain the things of life to that boy and to his girl. If he's got daughters, he'll explain these things to them. And you read the book of Proverbs. I remember when I was reading these things to my children, when I read about this woman, this promiscuous woman, Amanda. You know, here she is 5 or 6 years old. Daddy, what's a whore? I mean, she's honest. She wants to know. She don't have a clue. So between me and Mama, we tried our best to explain to her what it was. And of course, we explained to her that she had parts on her body that what we considered private parts, and nobody were to handle those private parts under no conditions. You know, nobody's to fondle your breasts. Nobody's to touch you and your other parts. And so we explained in detail that these are private parts that God gave us. They have a purpose, and some of them are multi-purpose, but you know, but God made them. And as long as you use it His way, it's okay. There's not anything wrong. And then one night we were riding down the road with a friend and his wife that we love so well, and they had a son about 2 years older than Tim and Amanda, and they were all in the back seat of a station wagon. And all of a sudden, my daughter screamed out, Daddy, I'll use Bob, it's not his name, but she said, Bob just touched me on my private part. I didn't have to say a thing. The daddy of the Bob jumped, hit the brake and said, Son, you keep your hands to yourself. He knew exactly what his son had done. He had touched her somewhere he wasn't supposed to. If I hadn't explained to her that those were private parts and nobody's supposed to touch them, she wouldn't have known to say anything. But when she had her daddy and mother both explain to her, those are private parts and nobody touches them, nobody. So when that night when he touched her, she just screamed out, Daddy, he touched me on my private part. Raising children is fun. Some of the things you get to see happen, it's just out of this world. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I'm about to say. Now, if God is telling you never to stray, it must be important. Stay away from this woman. Don't go near the door of her house. Don't bother her in verse 9 and 10. If you do, you will lose your honor and will lose to merciless people all you have achieved. Now, technically speaking, the NLT right there is not really correct. That's why you need to read the Bible with lots of translations. He says, you will lose to merciless people. They were not people. They were demons. That's what you lose to demons. Now, those demons may be in people that will be that, so that may not be all wrong. But you will lose to merciless people or demons all you have achieved. You know, it don't do you no good to work and have a good job and go to school and get a good education. And then you find out when you're 30 years old that you got an incurable disease, cancer. If we understood what could happen, that's like that whenever my wife died in a car wreck years ago. My own son asked me, Dad, are you ever going to get married again? I said, absolutely not. He said, why? I said, well, first of all, I said, son, there's everything in the world out there. And I said, if I were to marry a woman, she'd have to be about my age. I couldn't marry a teenager. So I said, she'd have to be about my age. And I said, you know, she would probably have to have children, maybe grandchildren, just like I do. And there's no telling what kind of problems they may be. And I said, if she's been married maybe once or twice herself, there's no telling what kind of diseases she might have. And I said, I would never date a woman because I wouldn't know which one to choose. He said, Dad, you would not get married under any condition? I said, well, son, there's only one. I said, if God were to speak to me audibly and tell me I'm to marry a certain woman, then I would know she would be okay. I said, but other than that, I'm not even going to think about getting married. Well, that's exactly what happened. 3 years later, God spoke to me audibly and told me Cheryl was going to be my wife. So that night at a restaurant over a cup of tea, which I'd never been out with her, never held her hand or any other woman since my wife had died, I asked a woman I knew nothing about if she would be my wife. And she accepted because God had told her the night before that she was going to be my wife. Isn't that amazing? We've had 12 years of great life, you know. It's wonderful to be married to a woman that loves you and that you love her, you know. So we've had a great 12 years together. And I'm going to believe God's going to give us many more. So, but the strangers will consume your wealth and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. Now, that's really not what I want. You know, I don't want to work hard and build up a nice little nest egg and then give it all to the doctors. Do you want to do that?
No.
Can you imagine? I mean, I've seen many men that worked themselves to death almost, working 18 hours a day and so forth, and they do this for years, and then, yes, maybe they make $1 million, and they're all got all this money and everything, but they get into bitterness or unforgiveness towards someone, and it brings cancer on their body, or they're looking at all the women all the time, and they get prostate cancer, and the prostate cancer comes on them, and so they go to the doctor over and over and over, and what happens every time you go to a doctor? They don't charge anymore, do they? Oh, they do. Somebody laugh like they do.